Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're continuing to revisit some of our most popular interviews, and we're going to be talking with Molly Fletcher. Molly is a popular speaker, an author, and she is was referred to as the female Jerry Maguire. She was a sports agent, represented some of the biggest sports names, and she has some great thoughts she's going to share from her new book entitled The Energy Clock. Molly also has a podcast called Game Changers, and we're looking forward to our conversation with Molly. It's great to have Molly joining us from Atlanta this morning. Great to have you, Molly.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's a treat to be with you and all your listeners. This is great.
Great. Well, I guess first off, could you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your career journey?
Sure, you bet. So I grew up in East Lansing, Michigan, played tennis at Michigan State, and then I wanted to get into the sports marketing business. And, you know, with all due respect to East Lansing, Michigan, I thought, man, I think there's, you know, it's not the sports marketing mecca, right, of the world. And so I literally packed up my car and moved down to Atlanta to try to find a job in sports. And long story short, after a couple years of some odds and end things, I worked for the Super Bowl host committee. I worked for an outdoor adventure company and sort of networked my way to an opportunity where I worked for a small agency and then saw an opportunity to go out and sign athletes and coaches and broadcasters. And so, you know, I started really doing marketing and endorsement deals for the few athletes and coaches that we had. And then, you know, began to understand the business model a bit better and said to the owner, gosh, you know, what if we got more aggressive and went out and got players? And probably I'm standing there in a skirt or a pair of pink pants, right? And he's thinking, well, how's that going to work, right? Like, you didn't do this. I mean, you certainly didn't coach or play big league baseball or anything like that. But fortunately, he blessed it. And I put a business plan together and went after it. And, you know, 18 years later, signed about 300 athletes and coaches and built a division of you know, some pretty incredible guys and gals that we were able to serve. So it's been fun. And now I started writing books and speak. We have a training company and I speak and write, you know, really to help people unlock, you know, sort of, I think at some level, sort of this complacency that sometimes at times in our lives we can find ourselves in. And so how do we kind of get that moxie back inside of us and get unstuck and move forward and grow as an individual and certainly to your listeners as a leader?
Well, I like to ask this question of almost every guest that we have on is if you were able to spin back time and talk to a 22-year-old Molly, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give her?
You know, be crazy curious, right? I mean, just be insatiably curious. To me, you know, curiosity unlocks opportunity. And the more curious we can be both externally and even internally, right? The more curious we can be, the more we can discover gaps. And the more that we can discover gaps, and in my opinion, the more we can connect, serve, solve, lead, and grow as an individual and certainly as a leader. So curiosity to me is a superpower and something that as leaders we need, both, as I said, internally and externally. I mean, one of the guys I had an opportunity to do a deal with once is Kevin Durant. And, you know, here's a guy that's at the top of his game. I mean, he's a stud, right? I mean, everybody around that guy tells him he's the man. He's there. He's done it. But Kevin, as with all the best athletes in the world, say, you know, there's more in me. I can get better. And he's insatiably curious about how to do that. And through that, it creates opportunities for him. And so, you know, I think I was, you know, probably a 7 on a 10 scale as far as curiosity when I got down to Atlanta and began to pursue a career in sports. But, you know, I would tell people, you know, be a 12, right? I mean, just because it unlocks tremendous opportunity for yourself and those around you.
Any advice you received early on that you wish you would have ignored?
The word no, right? I mean, right. You know, to me, no is just feedback. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. no is. And, you know, people are going to tell you no. And I think, you know, yeah, maybe we close the door and look inside ourselves and say, is there anything inside of that that I need to listen to learn from? But, you know, I heard no all the time. I mean, as a female trying to get into the sports business to represent professional athletes that were generally males, people constantly said, like, I don't think you understand. I mean, like, you can't relate to these guys, or I was mistaken for the wife, or, you know, guys would come talk to me during batting practice and managers would yell at them for hitting on that chick behind home plate. And so I heard no all the time. And sure. To me, if we can reshape our shift our mindset at some level to say, how can we have a limitless mindset, right? How can we recognize that there aren't barriers? There's just roadblocks that haven't been broken. So keep going and don't listen to the word no. Particularly if it's something that is really important to you, to me, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, right? Leading, solving, serving, growing companies, it's hard. But if you want it bad enough, those no's are really just speed bumps that you drive over top of and keep going.
So you've written, is it 5 books so far?
Yes, yes.
And you've got a new book that's just recently came out and titled The Energy Clock, 3 Simple Steps to Create a Life Full of Energy and Live Your Best Every Day. Talk a little bit about that. I've heard people talking, you know, especially during this time that, you know, people have a lot more demands on their time and actually are probably working more since they're sure. working at home and that. But was that part of your, did you start working on this book? I'm sure before COVID, but
I did. Yeah. I did. Yeah. I never would have guessed, right? The timing of the release was a blessing, but you know, to me, what I saw as an agent was that the linchpin for performance with great athletes is energy. It's not time. And then when I transitioned more into the business world, if you will, what I saw was business people's linchpin for performance often was their calendar. It was time. And so what happens is they accept one meeting after another, one Zoom call after another one, and then they find themselves exhausted and drained. And I think particularly, Mark, as you alluded to now, demand at some level for people is exceeding their capacity. And for a short period of time, that often can work. But over a long period of time, it's not sustainable. And what it does is it impacts our performance. It impacts our creativity. It impacts our curiosity. It impacts our ability to be creative, to solve, et cetera. So when our demand at scale continues to exceed our capacity, our performance slips. And so what I believe is we've got to get really, really clear on the things in our lives, personally and professionally, that matter most. And one of the things we teach in our training, the Energized Leader training, and certainly in the book, is what we call an energy audit. And I think, as we know, as leaders, right, I mean, it starts with clarity. And so we've got to get really clear on what matters most, what gives us energy, what drains our energy. And then as leaders, we've got to be intentional about making sure we actually lay over top of our calendars the things that give us energy, and that we manage, delegate, remove the things that drain our energy. And I'm certainly not suggesting that this is easy, but it's incredibly important to make sure that we show up for the things in our lives that matter most with the kind of energy they need for us to deliver value and execute. And you know, an analogy I that comes up for me, Mark, is Matt Kuchar's was a client forever, and he's out on the PGA Tour. He's, you know, had a lot of success out there. And, you know, I remember sitting in my office with him, and we were going through his schedule. And, you know, guys will look at their schedule, they'll look at the tournaments, and they'll say, well, you know, this golf course, you know, I play well. You know, this golf course, I don't play as well. This golf course, I've continued to make the cut. I've always top 10 here, whatever. And then, of course, they lay over top of that, you know, the US Open, the Masters, the, you know, all the majors. And then what they do, and what we would do, is say, okay, look, if we know we want to peak and get into the Masters, we know we want to play well, you know, in the US Open and in the majors, then let's then back into the things that we do in anticipation of those moments. And I think what happens to business people often is they just say, yes, 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 yes. You know, tour players don't play 7 tournaments in a row and then show up at the Masters and think they're going to perform. And I think it's the same for us as business people. We've got to get intentional. What are our majors, if you will? And then how can we be intentional about planning our schedule so that we peak at our majors? And that takes intentionality. It takes clarity.
So you have in your book, you have 3 sections auditing your which you talked about, auditing your energy, seeking the important, and setting your energy clock. Could you touch on those other two areas of kind of how, just in a, you know, I encourage everybody to pick up a copy of your book, but as a quick overview?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things I think people are dealing with now too, and I'll touch on, because I think it's sort of relevant for folks now, is just distractions and recovery. You know, the world that we're in, it, for most people, has been very challenging. And so ensuring that we have the skill set and the tools to recover quickly is obviously incredibly important. But, you know, people are super distracted right now. And in part, it's because of our environments. You know, we have people working from home and, you know, kids behind them on Zoom calls and, you know, interrupting. And all those things are happening constantly to everybody. I mean, it happens. We have three daughters. It happens to me as well. And so I think we've got to get clear too on what are the things that are distracting. And I think there's sort of internal distractions, if you will, and then there's external distractions. And so when we think about internal distractions, it's things, Mark, like our private voice, you know, our self-talk. And you know, I think about my athletes, right? And, you know, they would put coaches around them that would build them up, that would give them, yes, tough feedback, but they would inspire them. They would encourage them. We as individuals need to be that great coach for ourselves. You know, often there's that little guy on our shoulder that's telling us, you can't do this. You've never done this before. You're leading, you're growing, you're doing, you're running this meeting. You've got your big, are you ready for this? Are you good enough? Are you prepared enough? Doubting you constantly, our self-talk, in fact, drives the outcomes. And so getting clear on ensuring that our private voice is one that is serving us is incredibly important. And what I would challenge people to do tactically is say, where are areas in your life where you're not performing where you want to? What is the story that you're telling yourself inside of that? And how can you shift the story to be one that will take you where you want to go, to do, in fact, what you know you can and what you want to do? And then there's external distractions like multitasking. I mean, you know, Mark, I am a recovering multitask right addict. I mean, I used to, you know, go to the grocery store, talk to my parents on the phone, talk to my husband on the phone, and then I'd get home and, you know, I jammed up the list, right? I'd get home and everybody would light me up because I didn't get the right stuff. And it was because I was trying to do too many things at the same time. And I always thought, no, I can do this. Like, people tell you that you can't multitask, BS, you can, you know, you can. And what ended up happening was I had somebody challenge me and they said, okay, cool, you think you can do two things at the same time? And I said, I know I can. I mean, I do it all the time. I get more done, I get done fat, you know, all this stuff. She goes, okay, cool, do me a favor. She said, you have young kids, you take them to school. I said, yeah. She goes, okay, just verbally give me directions to your kids' school. And at the same time on this 3x5 card, she said, write down the alphabet. I said, you want me to write the alphabet and verbally tell you, you know, go out the driveway, take a ride, take a lap? She goes, yeah. I got to D, Mark. I mean, I got to D. I couldn't, these are two pretty remedial tasks, right?
Sure.
And so there's external distractions that we deal with too. And so I think in life as leaders, we've got to get clear on what are those? How do we minimize those things in our lives? How do we manage those better so that we can be fully present? And at some level, in part, you know, this, the other sections of the book talk about things like that. It talks about things like controlling the controllables. You know, one of the things that great athletes do that I think we as leaders and business people can do is control what we can control. There's so much right now that is creating anxiety for people because they can't control so many things in their lives. And when we try to control things we can't, wow, you want to talk about getting exhausted. That'll drain you, right? So being intentional and saying, what can I control, and leaning into that attitude, mindset, effort, resilience, curiosity. And then what are the things that we can't? And we got to let go of what we can't. You know, Serena Williams, she doesn't look out in the draw. You know, you ask Serena, hey, look, if you win and you win and you win, then you play your sister. How do you feel about that? She didn't know. She doesn't care.
Sure.
She's going to play one match at a time, one point at a time. Great, great athletes do the same thing. And we as business people can lift that up as well.
So in your book, I think it was in the beginning, you talked about having some family that you're having dinner with and you weren't.
Yeah.
You weren't present. Tell that story and just kind of the importance of that. I think people, I think you're right. The distraction is everywhere in our pockets. It's the biggest distractor probably of all. But talk about that, just that lesson.
Sure, Mark. I mean, it was kind of a, you know, I think we all have moments in our lives where we kind of have the light bulbs go off. And that was one for me. I had gotten down to Atlanta. I'd been down in Atlanta for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years, but you know, my parents and I are very close and, you know, we talk all the time and they had landed and I picked them up at the airport and we went to this great restaurant for dinner. And I was early in my journey as an Asian and we're sitting at lunch and I am so excited to see them. I mean, they are two at the time in my life before I was married, the two most important people in my life. I mean, and we sit down at this really cool restaurant overlooking Piedmont Park in Atlanta. I mean, it's a beautiful day, you know, sky, you know, skyscrapers. I mean, I'm in this big city, right? Chasing my dream. I'm here at lunch with my two most important people in my life and, you know, kind of feeling proud of, around where I have sort of gone so far on my journey in Atlanta. And my phone rang the whole time we were at lunch. I mean, one athlete after another, one phone call after another. And I jumped up and took every single call for an hour and a half. And I remember after, you know, the third or fourth call coming back to the table and I could tell my parents were disappointed and they had flown all this way. It was expensive. And they were really disappointed. And I remember my mom looked at me and she has the ability to say something in two words or five words that'll just shake me up, man. And she said, "What do they want?" And I said, "Oh, well, mom, I mean, this guy's clubs didn't get there. He's frustrated because his, you know, he needs his putter and this baseball player's, you know, dropped to the eight hole in the lineup." And I'm just, I am telling her with this level of energy and intensity that I am literally a heart surgeon standing over them, saving their lives. And she just looked at me and goes, "Wow." And I remember thinking, huh. And I, the truth is, you know, there are people listening that say, "Well, gosh, I mean, I got to take those calls, right? I mean, what are you saying, lady?" Well, the truth is I had poured into those players. And you know what, if they went to voicemail for an hour and a half, I could pour into my mom and dad, and then I could call every single one of those guys back in an hour and a half. They weren't going to fire me.
Right.
They were not going to fire me. And what I did was I compromised both sides of the fence. I compromised with my parents in a big way. So it was a moment where I went, huh, how can we be more intentional about being present? How can we pour into the people that we need to pour into when we can, but also be present for the people in our lives that matter most when we need to as well? So clarity to me is a starting point for all of us in that regard.
Yeah. Great. Great advice. And I think, you know, I've noticed that, you know, a lot of, we have social events there are some people that, and I've purposely made it, just recently, I'm a recovering addict to my phone and trying hard, but thinking, put it in another room and put it somewhere else that, you can't automatically pick it up and look at it. But you've written several books, and I, you know, for a new or an up and coming leader, I know it's hard to ask an author what their favorite book is, but for that audience, the audience that we have that's kind of new and up and coming leaders, what of the five besides your most recent one, what other ones would you recommend for put at the top of the list?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, one would be Crucial Conversations. I'm a big fan of that book. You know, I think as a leader, one of the things that we have to do is have difficult conversations. And we have to do it certainly with love and with all of those things, but we have to have them. And, you know, as leaders, we've got to create clarity, but we've also got to hold people accountable. And sometimes that's hard. So I'm a fan of that book. I think it's a great read. I think it's wonderful. The other one is a guy I actually had on my podcast, Greg McKeown. He wrote a book called Essentialism. You know, to me as leaders, it's incredibly important, right? What can you and only you do, and what can you give away? You know, I think often as leaders, part of how you got there was you said, yes, 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 I'll do it. I got it.
Sure.
And we got to let go of things so that we can do what only we can do, and we can give away things that others can do. And I think Greg speaks to that incredibly well in his book. And then another one I'm a fan of is James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And, you know, as leaders, both for us and maybe for the people that we lead, he breaks down the ability to create powerful habits in a way that is really easy to understand and very easy to implement. So super powerful. And then I guess another one I would add too, I mean, is, you know, which is just sort of a weekend vacation read more than anything is The Alchemist, which probably lots of your listeners might have read. But if you haven't, it's just a really cool fable. It's been around for hundreds of years about just making sure we're living a life on purpose. It's a great read.
Great. So you've written a book, I think, that would be of interest. It's called Fearless at Work. I think for people that are in, and you've got some great things on negotiating, and that's definitely encourage people to pick up some of your other work. Outside of work, what do you do to recharge?
Well, I'm grateful to have an incredible husband, and we've been married almost 20 years, and so and we have three daughters, 18, 17, and 17, and so wow. Probably the number one thing, yeah, we had three kids in 12 months, Mark. That's a whole other story, but
yikes,
it's a blessing, and so, yeah. But you know, my family is A1, and then working out, I love walks, weight room with my kids. My girls are all athletes, and so being able to spend time with them doing whatever that might be, trying to keep up with them in the gym now is what that might look like. And playing golf is something that I do quite a bit when I can, and I still bang the tennis ball around from time to time. So really anything active outside and with my family is really what fills me up.
Great. So any parting advice that you would give to a new and up and coming leader?
Sure. To me, it would be, go for it, right? I mean, go for it. I mean, we do this life thing once, and we've got to be bold. We've got to be courageous. We've got to recognize that pressure, as Billie Jean King says, is a privilege. It's a privilege to be a leader and to have people that are trusting us to take them on this journey. And so recognize that pressure is a privilege, lean into it, but most importantly, go for it.
Great. Well, Molly, how would somebody learn more about what you're working on? And you've got a podcast, as you mentioned, called Game Changers. And talk a little bit about that, as well as just how somebody might learn more about what you do.
Sure. So mollyfletcher.com. And then, Mark, we actually put together a little special code for your listeners. But if they go to mollyfletcher.com/leadership-huddles, they can enter a code LEAD with all capital letters, LEAD. And then when they check out, they'll get a discount on our monthly coaching program. And it's really powerful. We have a couple hundred people in this wonderful community. And once a month, I sort of lean into a particular topic. I bring in some pretty incredible guests from time to time as well, which is really pretty cool. And we lean into a particular topic, and then we talk about it. And the promise is, in 57 minutes or less, you are going to leave with a new idea, a new concept, and how to deploy it in your own life. So it's an incredible community. So we made that code just for your listeners.
Great. Well, I encourage people to pick up your new book, and also check out your podcast. I've listened to several number of episodes, and it's great content, great guests.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.